Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everyone. Good afternoon. Welcome to Red Men News. I am Ross Chanley, joined today by Jack Gill. Which side are you on? That side, Tom? It's on the one, okay, fine. I'm not going to try the high-five thing again. Plenty of news to get through today. Basically, everything that me and Jack discussed yesterday doesn't really matter because Liverpool made a massive U-turn and have stopped their procedure to furlough some of their staff. One piece that is on that is from The Athletic. Another reminder, I'm going to stop doing this soon. If you want a seven-day free trial and 50% off a yearly subscription for The Athletic, you've got until Thursday to do that. So it's www.theathletic.co.uk/redmennews. There's lots going on there at the minute, despite not being loads of footy content. But one piece that came out today from Si Hughes on the furlough stuff. Liverpool's apology shows humility exists, but PR humiliations are too frequent. Some of you will remember the £77 ticket prices. And then I saw a tweet yesterday which reminded me about the trying to ban the name Liverpool and kind of, you know, take royalties over that. But he says it is clear from more statement and by listening to those close to the situation that this is what Liverpool thought they were doing when a decision was taken to furlough almost half their non-playing staff in a period where all revenues to Anfield have pretty much stopped. Nobody knows for certain how long this crisis might last. After all, Liverpool's economic world is a real one. And as Moore reminded at the end of the statement, coronavirus will negatively affect our ability to operate where we previously have. We'll go on to the actual statement in a minute, Jack. Something that we did speak about yesterday, actually, and I think we find it difficult because obviously we're Liverpool fans and all the emotions in there. But ultimately, Liverpool is a business. So, you know, that bit there where there's two things that Pete Moore's talking about is kind of saying, well, you can't have it always. And I think this is something that Paul picked up on one of his reactions, of saying, you know, in 4 months' time, we can't afford a Jadon Sancho or, you know, just I take that as an example. Like, there will be people that will still complain, but, you know, the people don't want Liverpool to take advantage of that the initiative that the government have provided.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is the stance I'm on. You know, like yesterday I said, I expect them to do this and to make the turnaround. And I think it was the best thing for them to do it. I don't feel as though the club and the owners and Peter Moore should be somewhat applauded for making what is now the right decision. I think obviously the U-turn is what was needed and what was necessary because I think it was the most moral thing to do. But I think the best thing to take from this is that we all support a club that is willing to listen to not just celebrities and people that criticise them, but their fans as well. And I think the spirit of Shankly have been excellent in helping people get their full pay off the club and helping the club make the most moral and the correct decision on this matter.
Yeah. Where do you stand on that bit of sort of trademark was the word I was looking for, by the way. I remember back there. You know, of these, you know, the ticket prices, obviously we kicked off about that. As you rightly point out, you know, they stopped you listening to what we kind of said. The trademark stuff was kind of a similar situation of, you know, Liverpool fans stood the ground, but, you know, they didn't want it. There's loads of businesses that, you know, that we're friends with that we know, you know, Threads to Reds, Love Follow Conquer, you know, and against British, and we got involved in that one. And then there's this as well. And one of the arguments that I saw yesterday, and I think you just kind of said it there, of, you know, everybody makes mistakes, you know, business decisions and whatever, you know. So, you know, I think it's slightly different in this case where it's not one person who's made a mistake. There's obviously got to be 4, 5, 6 plus people who've gone, shall we do this? And I don't recall any Liverpool fans that agreed with what we did yesterday. But in terms of the ownership, where do you stand on that? And I don't obviously want to fucking go out and criticise them, but you did. Does it concern you, the fact that it's not just one thing, it's a succession of things?
Ultimately, they're business people. You know, they'll always think business before anything else. And you know, we've seen on three different occasions now where they've received backlash for making a business decision that they clearly thought was the right thing to do at the time. They've received backlash and they've gone, no, you know what, we'll change that. And that's what I think the positive to take from this. I don't think the whole decision and the way that it's been worded that they should be applauded for making a U-turn, but I think they should be applauded for the fact that they are willing to listen. We spoke yesterday about Tottenham and the fact that a lot of people criticised Tottenham when they did it, Newcastle when they did it, but they stuck to their guns. You know, they're not changing their minds. Whereas Liverpool are the club that have gone and gone, you know what, we made a bad decision and we'll change our minds. And as you say, they've done it on two occasions before. And I do think that's a good thing, that they are willing to listen to people and they are willing to reassess and change their minds on certain things.
One of the points that Si Hughes is trying to make in this, Jack, is that... And again, you know, we're Liverpool fans, so we get the emotion, we get the ethos of the club, and you know, it's black and white. We've grown up on it. It's been, you know, it's been ingrained into us as fans growing up. So, and we're trying to understand the business perspective of things. Do you think it's fair to say, you know, FSG, they're trying to learn the Liverpool ways, where you know, it's, and for that way they're making mistakes, because, like you said, they're business-minded people. They must be hard for them trying to go, okay, we need to see it from that perspective as well.
Absolutely. Correct me if I'm wrong, but when FSG first came in, I think they said, well, you're going to have to bear with us. This is our first football club. We don't really watch football, so you'll have to bear with us. And, you know, they've shown here that I think they don't realise football in England is so, so big. And when you make a decision, as you saw yesterday, it was everywhere. Everyone was talking about Liverpool and the decision that they made to furlough the staff. So, you know, I think they clearly misunderstood the voice of football in the UK, and it's so massive, and the fans have such a big say. But as I say, I think the way they're willing to listen and willing to understand the fans' point of view and not, you know, just normal people's point of view, I think is brilliant.
Yeah, so we'll go on to the actual statement that came out yesterday. I urge you to go and read this. It's quite a lengthy letter that Peter Moore's written to the fans. Tom will put all the links in the description for all the articles from today. But I just took a small segment of it. This is, we believe we came to the wrong conclusion last week to announce that we intend to apply the coronavirus retention scheme and furlough staff due to suspension of the Premier League football calendar, and are truly sorry for that. Our intentions were and still are to ensure the entire workforce is given as much protection as possible from redundancy and or loss of earnings due to the unprecedented period. We are therefore committed to finding alternative ways to operate while there are no football matches being played that ensures we are not applying for the governed relief scheme. There's a couple of things within that, Jack, and obviously, you know, being truly sorry, I think is the key thing that, you know. And I've seen lots of this. Of, you know, I think you said that they shouldn't be applauded for doing it. And you know, I think I agree with that. But also, I don't think it's applause. Just go, okay, sounds. You've recognised you've made a mistake. Let's all move on now and kind of put it behind us. And there's the argument of, you know, oh, you're only backed down because of the backlash. If the people didn't backlash, you would have gone with it. But also, I think he's partly right in there. You know, they've got loads of staff to look after as well, and I don't know. I think it's fine. I think we touched on this yesterday, saying, well, the owner's got fucking loads of money, just do that way, or get the players to do it. And I still find it slightly baffling that they didn't chase every other avenue that they could have done before going to the retention scheme.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, another brilliant thing in this is that the club has gone, held their hands up and gone, look, we're in the wrong. And as you say, they've apologised for it. And you know, it's one of them things. I feel like it's like when you're a child and you do something really bad and it really pisses off your parents. But you know, if you hold your hands up and apologise, you might get off.
Not angry, just disappointed is what you're looking for. And that's even worse. Yeah.
That's the one. But you know, I think the fact Peter Moore's written a letter and the way the club's gone about it is good and is worth praising. It's just as you say, a shame that they went through and made that decision in the first place.
Yeah, let us know your thoughts and questions in the comments, and Tom will send them over to me in a second. We're going to get three more pieces before we get to those. Jurgen Klopp describes the first time he saw Trent Alexander-Arnold in full Liverpool training. He did an interview with the Pure Football podcast, which is with Gillian Balaguer, who Chris interviewed a couple of weeks ago. That's on RedmenTV.com, shameless plug, if you want to go read that. So he explained it's Trent. We didn't have to buy him, but Pep Linders, my assistant, brought him around. He said he played in the number six for me, played full-back, right wing and left wing. Then he came, there was only one problem. Trent was not fit enough, but he was a kid, so he was not fit enough. We saw immediately, wow, football-wise, no doubts. But not fit enough, so we had to work on that. But then he made the steps himself, really unbelievable, and it was that really nice to see. Then he made mistakes and didn't give up. Jack, that's, well, one of the things we've been talking about is making mistakes, but also I think it's different when you, Alexander-Arnold, and you cover the academy stuff, you know, a hell of a lot. And I think Trent, you know, he's always been criticised for him kind of his lack of defending. And I think because he's been around for so long, because not used to it, because his standards are so high, because the standards of the team are so high. And there's also that the banter culture and, you know, tribalism with rival fans go, well, he can't tackle, he can't do this, he can't do that. I think it's important to remember he's just the kid, isn't he?
Absolutely. And you know, another shameless plug here, but we talk about him on the Academy channel a lot. And, you know, it's absolutely the sort of mentality you want from a person of his age and coming through the academy. You know, like we've spoke about before, how when he was coming through, you know, he didn't have enough muscle and Klopp questioned that. And then within the space of a few months, he's bulked up loads and he's the player he is today. You know, I think he's been excellent. And once again, the bit I noticed about that article is the man that found him, again, Pep Linders, who I think will be Klopp's successor when he leaves. I think he's a brilliant man and he'll be the man to take Liverpool forwards post-Klopp. But, you know, I think Trent's an outstanding player and I've constantly said the best right-back in the world. And the fact he's come through our academy is sensational. And, you know, we've seen since Trent's come through, there's been a few more players as well. There was a period of time post, you know, when we had Gerrard, Carragher, players like that coming through. There was a period of time where our academy wasn't making many players. And then Trent comes along. And now we've got Curtis Jones, Harvey Elliott, a lot of youngsters coming through. So it's really good to see.
Yeah, I think the thing about Trent is we covered this the other week. I think the scout who initially found him when he was playing football, I think Trent got him tickets for the Champions League final. So it's nice that he's in that humble kid for, you know, someone at such a young age. I say kid, he's 21, isn't he? Next, Jack, you picked up on this just before we went live. Premier League clubs advised they may only get a 2-week break before the start of the season. Obviously, it came out yesterday, which we covered. They're going to suspend it indefinitely after the country went to the lockdown and become under the coronavirus. 20 Premier League clubs held a video conference on Friday as they tried to find a way to complete the season. Just let me scroll down a little bit. The Daily Mail claims staff of Premier League clubs have been warned there could be as little as a 2-week break between the seasons. They look to get football scheduled back on track. And this is part of the people's problems initially over the past couple of weeks, Jack, when they're saying, you know, just void, null and void this season, and then, you know, it doesn't go on and affect next season. Essentially, I know it's not the same because they're still training and whatnot, but they kind of had a break from football, and I don't think it's not the same because it's not the same for anybody in the world currently right now. You know, I'm trying to like take a holiday, but we can't. And then it's like it's the same thing for us. If, like, you know, if football comes back again, and then because it's partly why I mentioned it. You know, if football comes back in 2 months' time, and then you're going straight into the football again, it's going to be constant. And then you've got the whole summer on top of that as well. From the players' perspective, okay, it's all well and good. It's not the mental break that they want, is it? I suppose if this is to happen,
what we've got here is. Everyone's desperate for it to affect next season as little as possible. So, you know, they go in, it may not finish till August or July. Therefore, it may be a 2-week break and then we can carry on with next season for as long as possible. Do I think this will happen? Absolutely not. I can't see managers and players being okay with just a 2-week gap. You know, they've got the Euros next summer as well. I think it'd be incredibly difficult. I think they'll need at least a month with transfers and stuff as well, and you know, coaches need to get their new players and test new things out in the summer and stuff. I just think it's impossible. But as you say, looking at this right now, we don't know when this will finish. It may not be done until 2021. So, you know, it would be incredibly difficult. And It's where we've got to look at things now and say everything's just guesses at this point in time. You know, like, they're probably just warning players and staff that it may be a 2-week break just in case, because nobody knows what's going to happen. And I think that's the more likely scenario. I think they'll do everything they can, and they should be doing everything they can to avoid that case.
Cool. Last story, this is a bit of a sour note, to be honest, is from Adriano Del Monte. Liverpool refused to reimburse €17,000 to 290 Atletico fans who did not travel to Anfield for last month's Champions League clash after they were urged by Spanish government not to. Instead, Atletico have covered the costs. I'm not sure where I stand on this one, Jack, to be completely honest with you. You know, they were advised by their government not to travel. They weren't allowed to go to their own games, you know, and without opening up a can of worms, there's obviously been a spike in Liverpool the past couple of weeks. And it was a report last week, I think, you know, due to one of the football games. We didn't allude to which one it was. I don't think it takes too much to guess which one of those that it was. Where do you stand on this?
I've said throughout all of this that, you know, that game should not have gone ahead. At all. You know, I think Dave Maddock did a really good piece going ahead of that game. He did a really good thread on what was going on in Madrid at the time, and, you know, with it just starting to go up with cases in England, that this could be a catastrophe. And, you know, looking back at it now, and this has nothing to do with the result on the night, but it shouldn't have gone ahead at all. And if it should, it should have been behind closed doors like PSG and Dortmund was. And, you know, it's one of them now where it's probably the right thing to do that they're reimbursed, because I think looking back at it now, if my government had advised me not to go, if I'd been not advised to go to a game, I'd want some kind of money back, you know, especially when the game does go ahead and it was the kind of night it was for Madrid. But at the same time, we should have known that was the case and that Madrid were advising fans not to come, because we weren't aware of that. We weren't aware of the danger at the time. Obviously, people were saying that it could be dangerous, it could be catastrophic for people, but we didn't get the same media coverage here that, you know, there was going to be a lot of Madrid fans coming, so we've got to be careful. We had the odd person, but it definitely wasn't on a big scale. So, you know, it's difficult, but looking back at it now, that game definitely shouldn't have gone ahead, and I think it's probably the right thing to give fans that didn't travel their money back.
Let's get some comments now just before we do. Just a reminder for the Athletic deal: if you want a 7-day free trial and 50% off your yearly subscription, go to www.theathletic.co.uk/redmennews. That will be in the description as well if you're watching this after the fact. Comments: Megasting1981 said, I'm pleased they have seen the light and apologise to the fans too. Kate Brennan, FSG could make up to us by signing Mbappe. I know they tweeted something very similar to that last night and decided to leave, Jack, but it would be nice for them to kind of go, actually, this is how sorry we are. I know Tom's going to be going mad in his room somewhere because he hates Mbappe, don't you, Tom? yeah, he's nothing. But, you know, a new signing would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. But, you know, you've got to look at this now, that the fact that they made that decision, maybe they did it at the time to ensure that, you know, they can make marquee signings down the line for the next few years. And this may jeopardise them now, but, you know, as I said before, I think this is the most moral decision, and every single club is going to be affected down the line in terms of transfers and money and whatnot. So I don't think we should be looking at things like Mbappe right now. You know, I just think we should be looking for this to be over and to see Jordan Henderson lifting that trophy. That's what I'm hoping for.
Last one, AXZ60 says, people need to realise that businesses make hard decisions, and occasionally the directors will make questionable decisions. At least they always listen to the fans. I mean, that's probably the key point in this. And I shouldn't do this, but, you know, if you look elsewhere in the Premier League, like said Mike Ashley, I don't think anyone within the right mind is expecting him to make a U-turn. And those things that we discussed at the top of the show of, you know, the ticket prices, the trademark stuff, and, you know, and this. Like, at least they do listen to us, and, like, you know, they do care, because I know there's up and down the Premier League and across Europe, or, you know, in other leagues or other clubs, you've got owners where that just, the cohesion just isn't there. And I know they've made a mistake and whatever, but it's kind of the saving grace of all this. You've got, well, okay, at least you've listened to us, because it could be a lot worse.
Absolutely. Obviously, they made the decision on the Friday that their minds are changed by the Monday. You know, they've listened over the weekend and they've made a quick decision to change their mind. As I say, I don't think they deserve too much praise for it. But at the end of the day, they've come to the right decision now. And you know, that's something that Daniel Levy hasn't done. So I think it's one of them situations where they've done the right thing, they've listened, and now there'll be more pressure on Tottenham and Newcastle to do a similar thing, which has been good from the owners to come to that decision.
Good. Okay, we'll wrap it up there. Just a couple of things before I go. On RedmanTV.com, there's currently an interview with Jose Enrique. Chris set down with him. It's absolute belter of an interview. Later on this week, we are recording the podcast this afternoon on subscribers Q&A. It was really fun last week. Paul will be interviewing Jimmy Traore on Wednesday. So that'll be out later on this week as well. And on Friday night, we're doing a RedmanTV live pub quiz. So far, it's me, Chris, Paul, Steve Orr, Emma Sanders, Adam Rowe. We've got a couple more people involved, including some subscribers. So if you do nothing on Friday night, come and have a drink, have some snacks, get pissed and have some drinks with us. Jack will be back tomorrow with the news with Georgia. So if Jack's taking over the first time, go and show him some support and check out the news. And Jack, do a good job. I'll see you tomorrow.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.